Chapter 4. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried. Verse 22. The former verses briefly hold forth the carriage of the ungodly in this life toward the saints. Now this verse doth hold forth the departure both of the godly and ungodly out of this life. Wherefore it is said, and it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man died also. This beggar died, that represents the godly, and the rich man died, that represents the ungodly. From whence observe, neither godly nor ungodly must live always without a change, either by death or judgment. The good man died, and the bad man died. That scripture doth also back this truth, that good and bad must die. Marvelous well, where it is said, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Hebrews 9, verse 27. Mark, this doth not say it is so, and that men by chance may die, which might beget in the hearts of the ungodly especially some hope to escape the bitterness of death. But it saith, it is a thing most certain, it is appointed. Mark, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. God hath decreed it, that since men have fallen from that happy estate, that God at the first did set them in, they shall die. Romans 6, verse 23. Now when it is said, the beggar died, and the rich man died, part of the meaning is, they cease to be any more in this world. I say, partly the meaning is, but not altogether. Though it be altogether the meaning, when some of the creatures die, yet it is but in part the meaning when it is said that men, women, or children die. For there is to them something else to be said, more than a barely going out of the world. For if, when unregenerate men and women die, there were an end of them, not only in this world, but also in the world to come, they would be happy over what they will be now. For when ungodly men and women die, there is that to come after death, that will be very terrible to them, namely to be carried by the angels of darkness from their deathbeds to hell, and there to be reserved to the judgment of the great day, when both body and soul shall meet and be united together again, and made capable of undergoing the uttermost vengeance of the Almighty to all eternity. This is that, I say, which doth follow a man that is not born again after death, as is clear from 1 Peter 3, verses 18 and 19, where, before speaking of Christ being raised again by the power of the eternal Spirit, he saith, by which, that is, by that Spirit, he went and preached to the spirits in prison. But what is the meaning of this? Why, thus much, and that those souls who were once alive in the world, in the time or days in which Noah lived, being disobedient in their times to the calls of God, by his Spirit in Noah, for so I understand it, were according to that which was foretold by that preacher, overcome by the flood, deprived of life, and are now in prison. Mark, he preached to the spirits in prison, he doth not say, who were in prison, under chains of darkness, reserved or kept there in that prison, in which now they are, ready like villains to the jail, to be brought before the judgment seat of Christ at the great day. But of this I shall speak further by and by. Now, if this one truth, that men must die and depart this world, and either enter into joy or else into prison to be reserved to the day of judgment, were believed, we should not have so many wantons walking up and down the streets as there do. At least, it would put a mighty check to their filthy carriages, so that they would not, could not walk so basely and sinfully as they do. Belshazzar, notwithstanding he was so far from the fear of God as he was, yet, when he did but see God was offended, and threatened him for his wickedness, it made him hang down his head and knock his knees together. Daniel 5, verses 5 and 6. If you read the verses before, you will find he was careless and satisfying his lusts in drinking and playing the wanton with his concubines. But so soon as he did perceive the finger of an handwriting, then, saith the scripture, the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. And when Paul told Felix of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, it made him tremble. And let me tell thee, soul, whoever thou art, that if thou didst but verily believe that thou must die, and come to judgment, it would make thee turn over a new leaf. But this is the misery the devil doth labor by all means, as to keep out other things that are good, so to keep out of the heart as much as in him lies the thoughts of passing from this life into another world. For he knows, if he can but keep them from the serious thoughts of death, he shall the more easily keep them in their sins, and so from closing with Jesus Christ. As Job saith, their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Which makes them say to God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. Job 22, verse 14. Because there is no fear of death and judgment to come, therefore they do put off God and his ways, and spend their days in their sins, and in a moment, that is, before they are aware, go down to the grave. Verse 17. And thus it fared also with the man spoken of in Luke 12, verse 20. This man, instead of thinking on death, thought how he might make his barns bigger, but in the midst of his business in the world, he lost his soul before he was aware, supposing that death had been many years off. But God said unto him, thou fool, thou troublest thyself about things of this life. Thou puttest off the thoughts of departing this world, when this night thy soul shall be taken from thee. Or, this night, they, that is, devils, will fetch away thy soul from thee. And hence it comes to pass by men's not being exercised with the thoughts of departing this life, that they are so unexpectedly to themselves and their neighbors taken away from the pleasures and profits, yea, and all the enjoyments they busy themselves with while they live in this world. And hence it is again that you have some in your towns and cities that are so suddenly taken away, some from haunting the alehouses, others from haunting the whorehouses, others from playing and gaming, others from cares and covetous desires after this world, unlooked for as by themselves or their companions. Hence it is also that men do so wonder at such tidings as these, that there is such a one dead, and such a one departed. It is because they do so little consider both the transitoriness of themselves and their neighbors. For had they but in their thoughts well exercised about the shortness of this life, and the danger that will befall such as do miss of the Lord Jesus Christ, it would make them more wary and sober, and spend more time in the service of God, and be more delighted and diligent in inquiring after the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the deliverer from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10. For, as I said before, it is evident that they who live after the flesh in the lust thereof do not really and seriously think on death, and the judgment that doth follow after. Neither do they indeed endeavor so to do, for did they, it would make them say with holy Job, all the days of my appointed time will I wait, till my change come. Job 14:14. And as I said before, not only the wicked, but also the godly have their time to depart this life. And the beggar died. The saints of the Lord, they must be deprived of this life also. They must yield up the ghost into the hands of the Lord their God. They must also be separated from their wives, children, husbands, friends, goods, and all that they have in the world. For God hath decreed it. It is appointed, namely by the Lord, for men once to die, and we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, as it is 2 Corinthians 5:10. But it may be objected, if the godly die as well as the wicked, and if the saints must appear before the judgment seat as well as the sinners, then what advantage have the godly more than the ungodly? And how can the saints be in a better condition than the wicked? Answer, read this verse over again, and you will find a marvelous difference between them, as much as between heaven and hell, everlasting joy and everlasting torments. For you find that when the beggar died who represents the godly, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, or into everlasting joy. But the ungodly are not so, Psalm 1, but are driven away in their wickedness, Proverbs 14:32, hurried by the devils into the bottomless pit, for it saith, and in hell he lift up his eyes. When the ungodly die, their misery begins, and for then appear the devils, like so many lions, waiting every moment till the soul depart from the body. Sometimes they are visible to the dying party, but sometimes more invisible. But always this is certain, they never miss of the soul, if it do die out of the Lord Jesus Christ, but to haul it away to the prison, as I said before, there to be tormented and reserved until the great and dreadful day of judgment, at which day they must, body and soul, receive a final sentence from the righteous judge, and from that time be shut out from the presence of God into everlasting woe and distress. But the godly, when the time of their departure is at hand, then also are the angels of the Lord at hand. Yea, these are ready, waiting upon the soul to conduct it safe into Abraham's bosom. I do not say, but the devils are oft times very busy, doubtless, and attending the saints in their sickness. Yea, and no question, but they would willingly deprive the soul of glory. But here is the comfort, as the devils come from hell to devour the soul if it be possible at its departure, so the angels of the Lord come from heaven to watch over and conduct the soul in spite of the devils safe into Abraham's bosom. David had the comfort of this, and speaks it forth for the comfort of his brethren, Psalm 34:7, saying, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Mark, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about his children to deliver them. From what? From their enemies, of which the devil is not the least. This is an excellent comfort at any time, to have the holy angels of God to attend a poor man or woman, but especially it is comfortable in the time of distress, at the time of death, when the devils beset the soul with all the power that hell can afford them. But now it may be that the glorious angels of God do not appear at the first to the view of the soul. Nay, rather, hell stands before it, and the devils ready as if they would carry it thither. But this is the comfort. The angels do always appear at the last, and will not fail the soul, but will carry it safe into Abraham's bosom. Ah, friends, consider, here is an ungodly man upon his deathbed, and he hath none to speak for him, none to speak comfort unto him. But it is not so with the children of God, for they have the Spirit to comfort them. Here are the ungodly, and they have no Christ to pray for their safe conduct to glory, but the saints have an intercessor, Job 17, verse 9. Here are the world. When they die, they have none of the angels of God to attend upon them, but the saints have their company. In a word, the unconverted person, when he dies, sinks into the bottomless pit. But the saints, when they die, ascend with and by the angels into Abraham's bosom, or into unspeakable glory. Luke 23, verse 43. Again, it is said that the rich man, when he died, was carried or put into the earth. But when the beggar died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The one is a very excellent style, where it saith he was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. It denotes the excellent condition of the saints of God, as I said before. And not only so, but also the preciousness of the death of the saints in the eyes of the Lord, as Psalm 116, verse 15. After generations may see how precious in the sight of the Lord the death of his saints is, when he saith, they are carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Thus, many times the Lord adorneth the death and departure of his saints, to hold forth to after generations how excellent they are in his eyes. It is said of Enoch that God took him, of Abraham that he died in a good old age, of Moses that the Lord buried him, of Elijah that he was taken up into heaven, that the saints die in the Lord, that they sleep in Jesus, that they rest from their labors, and that their works follow them, that they are under the altar, that they are with Christ, that they are in light, that they are come with the Lord Jesus to judge the world. All which sayings signify thus much, that to die as a saint is a very great honor and dignity. But the ungodly are not so. The rich man dies and is buried. He is carried from his dwelling to his grave, and there he is hid in the dust, and his body doth not so fast moulder and come to naught there, as his name doth stink as fast in the world. As saith the Holy Scripture, the name of the wicked shall rot. And indeed the names of the godly are not in so much honour after their departure, but the wicked and their names do as much rot. What a dishonor to posterity was the death of Balaam, Agag, Ahithophel, Haman, Judas, Herod, with the rest of their companions. Thus the wicked have their names written in the earth, and they do perish and rot, But the names of the saints cast forth a dainty savor to following generations. And that the Lord Jesus doth signify where he saith, the godly are carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and that the wicked are nothing worth, where he saith, the ungodly die and are buried.